It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Good afternoon. Welcome to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. And the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. You know, I'm filling in for Ernest. He's out gallivanting again today. The Pat Tillman movie came out today. So the meetup group that is kind of, you know, the cornerstone of everything we do around here. It's the way we communicate with one another here in Phoenix. It's the Ron Paul meetup group. It's actually the very first Ron Paul meetup group in the whole United States. We are, you know, they're getting a couple of groups of people together today to go see the Pat Tillman story because, of course, he was an Arizona State University star, you know, went on to play with the Arizona Cardinals, and he, you know, gave up all of that to go because he believed in what was happening after the events of 9/11. And so what happened was is he basically found out that what they were doing over there was basically guarding the opium fields, and he was writing letters home. And next thing you know, he got killed by, quote, friendly fire, took three in the back of the head. And, you know, just now, finally, his story is coming out. So the movie was released today. So then Ernest is off for a few days going to California because it is hot, hot, hot here in Phoenix, Arizona. It's a buck 10 or better already. My goodness, I can't wait for this to be over. I tend to love, you know, I look forward to September because it means that's the last month that it's going to be hot here. So, but boy, it's not going quietly into that good night, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway, we have a great show for you today. I've been burning the midnight oil doing my research because I want to paint a bigger picture for all of you out there about what is going on, the larger schemes that are going on in our government that maybe you don't know about. And I want to start out with talking about James J. Lee, who is the Discovery Channel shooter yesterday, or was it the day before? You know, and then we're going to start our little journey with James talking about James J. Lee and what he was talking about. Then I'm going to move on into something a little bit local with Arizona because it's something I have not talked to anyone about. It is about the Center for North American Studies that is going on at ASU. And what they're trying to do is they have a whole college of studies for bringing about the North American Union. And if you think that the North American Union is dead, you are sorely mistaken because ever since we had NAFTA and GATT and the SPP, the Security and Prosperity Partnership, it is going on and it is going full force. You just don't hear about it in the mainstream news. And kind of moving on into that, we are going to talk a little bit about the Canamex Corridor, which is a super highway that is being built between, I believe, Mexico City and Edmonton, Alberta. And it's going right through here all the way up through to Las Vegas from Phoenix, you know, all the way from Mexico City. Boy, I sound like the governor of Arizona, don't I? I'm having a little hitch in my words, so must be the heat. So we're going to Mexico City, to Hermosillo, to Nogales, which is the border of Arizona and Mexico, Tucson, Phoenix, Las Vegas, Salt Lake City, where this network is broadcast out of, Liberty News Radio, up to Idaho Falls, Great Falls, Montana, Calgary, and Edmonton. And so this is in full swing at this moment right now. It is going on. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then we are going to be talking about, you know, that's going to segue right into something called ICLEI, I-C-L-E-I, which is the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, Local Governments for Sustainability. Then we're going to talk a little bit about Agenda 21, which is a UN decree that was passed down in 1992 at the Rio Summit. And it, Agenda 21 and sustainable development are basically interchangeable. Agenda 21 is the actual mandate that was signed by George Herbert Walker Bush, which is Bush 41, for America. However, it wasn't ever ratified by the Senate. But we're going to go into that a little bit. And then in the last 2 hours, I have Cassandra Anderson of MorphCity.com here to talk about Agenda 21, the National Ocean Council, and all that, a lot of things that have to do with the governments under mandate by the UN actually taking control over every aspect of every part of our lives. And I know it's like a big, it's a big pill to swallow, but if we really understand that this Agenda 21 goes all the way from a global, all the way down to the very smallest levels of government, that I think it's going to paint one heck of a picture as far as what we can do about it. And so I'm going to jump right into this issue with James J. Lee, and I'm reading a little bit from an article on Infowars.com, which is called Eugenicist Takes Hostage at Discovery Channel, Issues Anti-Human Manifesto. And the reason I'm talking about this is because of the demands that James J. Lee made, because all he is doing is basically parroting what is being promoted by the UN. So this guy just bought into what they were saying, you know, believing that human beings are basically scum and that we are the cancer, a plague upon this earth. And the minute you start thinking about humankind being a plague upon this earth, man, you have got your thinking all wrong. We are God's greatest creation. We are, you know, whatever creator you believe in. We are the highest form of life that exists on this planet. And yes, we have our faults, and yes, we have our problems. You know, and with complexity comes more issues. You know, there's a rap song called Mo Money, Mo Problems. And it's exactly that when we're talking about we are very, very complex. We are very flawed. But the fact is, we are aware of our flaws, which other animals aren't. And so all these big institutions have learned how to take our awareness of our flaws and our faults and our fear of death. We are the only creatures that know that, death is pending. And so when we start looking at these things about how these organizations make us believe that we are the biggest plague, the biggest scourge on this earth, and that we need to go away in order to make the earth whole again. And it's absolutely farcical, but there's a very large number of people that believe that in the world. And James J. Lee just happens to be one of them. And, you know, he went into the Discovery Channel at the first floor of the building and took a hostage, okay? And, you know, according to the Washington Post, you know, a note was posted on the internet on July 18th demanding the implementation of a global eugenics program. And that's basically the what, when it all boils down to it, we're going to be talking about today, the global eugenics program, which means making less people around. Because what the New World Order wants is for them to have a small number of slaves in order for them to have sort of an Eden, because the all of our cities will be in tightly knit groups, and then the rest of the land on the earth will be absolutely off limits, and it will be their playground. They're trying to create an Eden on earth for themselves. And, you know, it's nice work if you can get it, I guess. But I don't exactly subscribe to that, because I think that humanity, with all of our faults, is the absolute most beautiful thing that has ever happened on this earth. And so when we start thinking that we need to make less people, it's really, really a sad state of affairs. So when we come back, again, I'd love to hear from you. I don't get too many calls when I fill in here, but 866-986-6397, 866-986-NEWS. I would love to hear from you and what you have to say on this. So when we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, we're going to jump into this James J. Lee issue, and then we're going to keep moving on, moving on, moving on. We'll be right back in just a minute.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. And the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. I'm going to have my show soon. I tell you what, it's in the works right now. It's going to be somewhere, some way, somehow, it's going to be The Revolution Continues. Me, Jet Lacy, we're going to, you know, I tell you what, the Ron Paul Revolution is getting fired up again. And, you know, it's not about the man. It is about a set of ideas. And I'm sure Ernest has talked to you guys about this, that he's the one that created the Ron Paul Revolution logo. And it is a revolution with love. And although I'm talking about a lot of heavy issues today, again, like I said as on the outro when we were going to break, that I do care about humanity very, very much. And if I don't help people understand what we are up against, how can we defeat it? And so we start looking at this guy, poor guy, James J. Lee. He's probably a little wacky, a little crazy. And, you know, he had these beliefs that... you know, he went into the Discovery Channel in Maryland, I believe, in Silver Spring, Maryland, and took a hostage. And he was demanding the implementation of a global eugenics program. Well, he's just following right in line with the UN mandates. And, I mean, this is nothing new, I got to tell you. This has been going on. Hitler learned all of his ideas about eugenics from us in the United States. And actually, the Rockefeller Foundation funded the Otto von Bismarck eugenics facility in Germany up until the time of World War II, when it became, not very feasible, or, you wouldn't be looked upon very well if you did so. But if you go even back as far as... I'll just give you an example of something I printed out the other day. A World Development Report, 1984. No pun intended, but I think that's kind of interesting. This was actually put out by the World Bank, which is, again, an arm of the UN. And their whole document that they put out in 1984 was about the need for population control. And so you can find this online, the World Development Report 1984, published for the World Bank by Oxford University Press. And it said, this year the focus is on population change and its links with development. Population growth does not provide the drama of financial crisis or political upheaval, but as this report shows, its significance for shaping the world of our children and grandchildren is at least as great. Failure to act now... to slow growth likely to mean a lower quality of life for millions of people. In the poorest countries of the world and among the poorest groups within countries, poverty contributes to high mortality and even higher fertility. On one hand, the situation is grave. This report concludes that in some countries, development may not be possible at all unless slower population growth can be achieved soon. So I'm just reading from the foreword that was written by A.W. Clausen, who was the president of the World Bank at the time in 1984. Just to give you a little information, a little insight into where these people are coming from. And it's not that the world is overpopulated. It's not. On Ernie's other show, someone sent me a document one time that showed that if you gave every individual on Earth 0.28 acres, which is a little bit more than a quarter of an acre, so a family of four would get a little bit over an acre, and you put everybody on Australia, there would still be a few hundred thousand acres left over. And I realize that not all of the land in the world is arable. But if you really think about it and from that perspective, that you could put every single person with a quarter acre of land on Earth on Australia and the rest of the world would be unpopulated, it gives you a little bit of perspective as to how we are not the problem. The problem is they can't control 7 or 9 billion people. And that's what it really breaks down to. This is about control. This is about them assuming global control of the world and everybody in it. And so, and they have infused themselves into all levels of government. And there's a lot of people that have bought into this balderdash. And one of these is James J. Lee. And he was so driven by what he believes, you know, he actually, what turned him on was an inconvenient truth, the Al Gore. You know, but you look at Al Gore, he's not living a green lifestyle. He uses so much more electricity than anybody else, but this is not about the elites. This is about you and I, the regular people. And so what he on this this post on SaveThePlanetProtest.com website, he posted his entire manifesto. And I'm going to read a little bit of it just to help you understand how he really feels. And he is not the only one that has bought into this hook, line, and sinker. He says, focus must be given on how people can live without giving birth to any more filthy human children, since those new additions continue pollution and are pollution. A game show format contest would be in order. Perhaps also forums of leading scientists who understand and agree with the Malthus Darwin science and the problem of human population. And who he's referring to is, of course, Charles Darwin and Thomas Malthus, who is the founder of, you know, he's the one that described Malthusian eugenics, which is eliminating less desirable people in the world. And the thing is, though, is their criteria for less desirable is only related to the size of your checkbook at this point. If your checkbook is big, oh, you're welcome in this world. But if your checkbook is small, like most of ours are, then you're going to have these kind of problems. You know, they want you gone. They don't want you here. They want you out of their way. And so, you know, to me, his manifesto comes across like a guy that's kind of, you know, hasn't been laid in a while. He's a little bit bitter about it because he's talking about children and, you know, overpopulation and breeding like it's the most evil thing in the world. And, you know, number two of his manifesto is all programs on Discovery Health Learning Channel must stop encouraging the birth of any more parasitic human infants and the false heroics behind these actions. If these programs encouraging human sterilization and infertility must be pushed. All former pro-birth programs must now push the direction of stopping human birth, not encouraging it. You know, and then he goes on to talking about war. There's actually a few things in here that he wrote about that I actually agree with about the wars. You know, he says all programs promoting war and the technology behind those must cease. There's no sense in advertising weapons of mass destruction anymore. Instead, talk about ways to disassemble civilization and concentrate the message in finding solutions to solving global military mechanized conflict. Again, solutions instead of just repeating the same old wars with newer weapons. I get that. That's cool, man. But he's like, WTF, stupidity, more humans equals more war. And number four, he says, civilization must be exposed for the filth that it is. That and all his disgusting religious culture roots in greed. Broadcast this message until the pollution in the planet is reversed and the human population goes down. This is your obligation. If you think it isn't, then get the hell off the planet. Breathe oil. It is the moral obligation of everyone living. Otherwise, what good are they? Immigration. Number 5. Programs must be developed to find solutions to stopping all immigration pollution and the anchor baby filth that follows that. Wow. You know, September 1st, 2 days ago, was the anniversary in 1941 of when the Jews started having to wear armbands or, stating that they were Jews. So how long is that going to be until we start doing that to Muslims or Mexicans? Yeah, I'd love to hear from you. 866-986-6397. 866-986-NEWS. We'll be back in just a minute on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Don't stop me, 'cause I'm having a good time, having a good time.
I'm a shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. Revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. We are talking about James J. Lee, the Discovery shooter, and how he has bought in and it actually ended up costing him his life. To what the UN has been promoting. And that's what this whole show is about today. I just wanted to keep talking about what this guy's manifesto is. And it's really kind of sad. I mean, to really think about this, to really believe in the deepest recesses of your heart that humans are bad and evil, it doesn't make any sense. And it really hurts that people have actually bought into this nonsense gibberish that the powers that be have been trying to ram down our throats for a long time now. And if you look at some of, the Club of Rome documents and Zbigniew Brzezinski, these guys are, Brzezinski has been in so many of the White House, staffs, and he has just advocated this stuff for a long, long time. If you look at, in 1968, the Club of Rome published Limits to Growth. I urge you, you can find any of these documents that I'm reading from online. And that's what I do. Scribd is a good website, scribd.com, to find a lot of these white papers is what they're called. Getting back to James J. Lee's manifesto, as it were, he says, number 7, it says, develop shows that mention the Malthusian sciences about how food production leads to the overpopulation of the human race. Talk about evolution. Talk about Malthus and Darwin until it sinks into the stupid people's brains until they get it. Number 8, saving the planet means saving what's left of non-human wildlife by decreasing the human population. That means stopping the human race from breeding any more disgusting human babies. You're the media. You can reach enough people. It's your responsibility because you reach so many minds. So, and when I have Cassandra Anderson on the next hour, we're going to be talking about the World Wildlife Fund. When we start looking at all of these things that aren't from the outward, the Endangered Species Act, and the World Wildlife Fund and the National Park Service, how they were given all of our lands over to the UN, their UN biodiversity zones. These are all intended to keep people off of these lands because of any number of reasons. Endangered species. You can't do a certain thing if there's an endangered species there, try to nest. You can't, just look at all the acres that they set aside as land preserves. And I'm not saying that we don't need those. I'm just saying that the impetus behind them is very nefarious and very underhanded because it's all designed to keep people away from property. This is all about getting the idea of property rights to be a thing of the past. And if you look at, the founding fathers, they went on and on about property
Property rights and freedom go hand in hand. You cannot divest the two. The right to own your own property and do with it as you see fit, as long as you don't interfere with the property of another individual, is the very essence of what it means to be free. So these are what they're trying to do is just get just pound it into our heads and pound it into our heads that we are not worthy. We are scum. We're less than animals. We are worth less. And I don't mean worthless, but that's basically what they're trying to say. But we're worth less than actual animals that walk around this earth and fly over the earth and crawl under the earth. So it's kind of sad. It's kind of sick. See, number 10, stop all shows glorifying human birthing on all your channels and on TLC. Stop future weapon shows or replace the dialogue condemning people behind these developments so that the shows become exposés rather than advertisements for arms sales and development. I agree with that. That part of it anyway. He goes on to say, humans are the most destructive, filthy, pollutive creatures around and are wrecking what's left of the planet with their false morals and breeding culture. For every human born, acres of wildlife force must be turned into farmland in order to feed this new addition over the course of 60 to 100 years of that new human's lifespan. This is at the expense of forest creatures. All human procreation and farming must cease. Children represent future catastrophic pollution, whereas their parents are current pollution. No more babies. Population growth is a real crisis. You know, saving the environment and the remaining species of diversity of the planet is now your mindset. Nothing more is important than saving them. The humans, the planet does not need humans. You must know the human population is behind all the pollution and problems in the world, and yet you encourage the exact opposite instead of discouraging human growth and procreation. Surely you must already know this. Wow. It's just, I can't believe that, you know, I guess, you know, people get very, very stuck on things. They get focused on something. They get obsessive about things. I guess I've become obsessive about individual liberty, or so my wife tells me. But, you know, so how are they bringing this about? How are they getting people to come along to these lines of thinking? Well, one of them is to create a global government. But the thing is, you can't just come out and say, well, I want a global government and we're going to take care of everything for you because, you know, people are tribal in nature. We're very territorial. It takes time to get people to give up their sovereignty. And there's some people that will not give up their sovereignty, and those number of people are growing because we don't realize what we have until it's gone. You know, when America as we know it ceases to exist, you're going to really start to wonder what the heck you were doing when it was that time. But you know what? When that day comes, I'm going to be able to tell you exactly what I was doing. I was standing up for my liberties, my individual liberties. You know, I disagree with what Ernest says when he says, I don't care about anybody else's liberties. I only care about my own. And to a certain extent, I get where he's coming from, but I do care about my fellow man. I do care about where they're coming from. I do care about them having the lives that they want, because we cannot live exclusive of everybody else. No man is an island. No family is an island. If you look at individuals in solitary confinement for any length of time, invariably, 100% of the time, they will go mad. We need one another. We need to be appreciated and to be part of a team, as well as being recognized by our individual efforts. That is the duality of humanity. And we need to start looking at these things that by celebrating the individual. If you really want to protect minorities, what minority is smaller than the individual? You know, they're always talking about all these different groups saying, oh, I want my rights. I want my rights. Well, if we protected the rights of the individual, then everybody's rights would be protected now, wouldn't they? But what they're doing to bring this stuff across is to try to get people to give up some of their sovereignty, to give up. They say it in the news all the time. Well, you're just going to have to give up some of your sovereignty in the global economy. The head of the CFR, Richard N. Haass, wrote a big article on it in last December. Saying that, you're just going to have to. It's something that you're going to have to get used to. Well, that's baloney. I'm not going to get used to it. I don't have to. I don't know who you are, and I don't want you telling me how I got to be. And that's the whole thing. They want a huge one collective world because then they control all of the collectives. So what we have here is... And I'm going to talk a little bit about Arizona right now, because Arizona is, I'm sure Ernest talks about it all the time, at the very cornerstone and the very front line of a lot of these things that are going on, and the very front lines of the war that is going on between the globalists and those of us who just want to be left alone. And at ASU, Arizona State University, there is a whole school dedicated to the North American Union, and it's called the North American Center for Transborder Studies. And I printed out a little paper about what they're about. I said, the mission of the North American Center for Transborder Studies is to advance greater understanding of the border and trilateral issues in North America by supporting scholars who contribute to the development of innovative theory and actionable policy analysis regarding these issues. The NACTS works for a safer, more prosperous, more competitive, more cooperative, this is the most important one, more sustainable North American region. The North American Center for Transborder Studies strives to embody the new American university design aspirations of global engagement, social embeddedness, and societal transformation in all of its initiatives. It is a university-wide research center with a tri-national board of advisors.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. There's Hancock, the Revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. Wow. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about, I was talking about the ASU North American Center for Transborder Studies. And the reason I bring that up is because there is something called the triumvirate, which is, this will be the eighth incarnation, I believe, of it. Triumvirate means a political regime dominated by three powerful individuals, each a triumvir. The arrangement could be formal or informal. And though the three are usually equal on paper, in reality, this is rarely the case. So the reason they called this triumvirate, what this is they're doing among university students between the three countries in these the new American university model, they are having a North American model legislature that is being held every single year. And, when I was going to have, I had Cassandra Anderson on the Ernie's other show the last day I did it. And so I wanted to have her on and talk about this stuff because, when I started doing my research to talk about the Agenda 21 with her, all these different things started popping up about what is going on in Arizona. And one of them, which is very interesting, is the Triumvirate Tempe 2011. The North American Center for Transborder Studies, which I said was a school of ASU, at ASU is pleased to announce that ASU will host the 2011 Triumvirate at the Tempe campus. Triumvirate brings together 50 to 100 university students from Mexico, the United States, and Canada to participate in a week-long simulation exercise of a parliamentary meeting between North American political actors. Since 2007, NACTS has sponsored a team of student delegates from ASU to participate in the Triumvirate, which is a North American mock parliament, which is just like what they're doing in the EU. During the event, students participated in an international negotiation exercise simulating a parliamentary meeting between North American legislators. Prior to arriving, delegates were assigned one of three roles: legislator, representing a country other than their own, journalist, or lobbyist. Legislators were also assigned to one of four commission themes: North American governance, making smart borders more efficient. We're going to talk more about smart when they talk about smart later, that just means tracking you. More efficient, managing transboundary water in North America, and countering human trafficking. The students discovered how extensive the process of drafting legislation is and how important compromise and collaboration are to be able to pass new legislation. They also learned how influential lobbyists are and that journalists can change the course of the legislation, especially when making inflammatory remarks about Mexican caucus in the daily newspaper, the Trilat Herald. Trilat. Think about that. Trilateral commission. I know I've talked about this on this show, which is, again, one more way they're trying to bring about the global governance. So the triumvirate is organized by the North American Forum on Integration, a nonprofit organization based in Montreal devoted to developing North American dialogue and networks. So again, the roles, again, just getting into that a little bit, legislators, have to face a challenge of representing a country other than their own. Again, giving up the sense of a sovereignty. You're not standing up and acting in a way as an American in the best interest of America. You have to take the role of acting in the best interest of another country above your own. And that's what this is teaching these people to do. And then you have, during the 5 days, they must debate and vote in plenary sessions and legislative commissions on resolutions that were previously assigned to them. Daily caucuses allow the legislators to define their strategies. Legislators are also encouraged to take part in the press conferences in order to share their points of view with the media. A final lobbying session allows them to consolidate alliances and close deals a few hours before the final vote. At the end of the week, participants fully comprehend the challenges related to international negotiations and better understanding North American cooperation realities. You know, our reality is what we make it, and what we're witnessing here is them doing the best, taking all of the money and the media at their disposal and trying to create a reality for us. And the attempts to create this reality for us, it works on a lot of people. It doesn't work on me because I've awakened from the matrix. And when I talk about the matrix, I don't mean that we're really in a computer program and we're slaves being used as batteries. What I mean is that they are trying to create a reality for us through all of the various media outlets and how the government deals with us and the rules and regulations that we are subjected to on a regular basis. So when I talk about the matrix, that's what I mean. I mean that they are trying to forge our reality for us rather than what the reality, whatever reality you want to create for yourself. You create your own reality. You create what is real to you and what is important to you. And the minute you start externalizing that, the minute you start giving that power over to somebody else, you start losing the right to make your own decisions. And making your own decisions is what freedom is all about, isn't it? You know, I know I talked about it last week that, you know, we were talking about what is liberty. You know, with freedom comes responsibility. And you have to look at these things at their most basic level because they try to make it so very complicated for us. And it really isn't. You know, I'm going to skip over the journalist part because it's basically just journalism, but lobbyists, a lot of these kids are being talked into being lobbyists. They're assigned to be a lobbyist. And said lobbyists will have to ensure that the amendments to the resolution respect the interests of the organization they represent, as well as the confidential mandate which will be assigned to them by the NAFI, which is North American Forum on Integration. Each lobby will have to present a memoir within one parliamentary commission, comment on the commission's work during caucus meetings, take part in the press conferences, and publish an open letter in the Trilat Herald. Legislators will seek lobbyist support for the adoption of the resolutions. So when we start talking, so how does that really get these kids to change their way of thinking? Who do the lobbies represent? Not the people. They represent business interests. So we have the media, which is controlled by business interests and owned by business interests. The lobbying groups, which is controlled by business and interests, as well as the government, which is controlled by business interests. So what they're trying to get these kids to do is to understand that we are not a sovereign nation of the United States of America, that we need to really focus our energies on the needs and wants of American people. They're teaching these kids to succumb to the wills and the whims of the corporations. And that is a really sad state of affairs. And so that is going on at some point in 2011 in Tempe, and I can tell you we are going to hit that like a ton of bricks. This is the first I have mentioned to anyone about it, and I was pretty excited to get to talk about it today, because if I'm by myself, and when I say we, I imagine there's going to be a lot of interested activists here in the Phoenix area that, you know, come here that are part of the Freedoms Phoenix Workshop. But if not, I'm going to be out there myself with a bullhorn, because I don't care. We need to bring sunshine to these types of things that are being done to us. And so it's one of those things, you know, you just got to stand up and do what you want to do for yourself. You know, and another thing I'm going to just touch on briefly in the few minutes that we have left is the Canamex Corridor, which we thought the NAFTA superhighway was dead, but it's not. It's alive and well. And it is going on, you know, again, it's from Mexico City to Edmonton, and it goes right through Salt Lake City, where Liberty News Radio is broadcast out of. And it goes all the way from Hermosillo, Nogales, Tucson, Phoenix, Las Vegas, Salt Lake City, Idaho Falls, Great Falls, Calgary, and Edmonton. And what they're trying to do is, I didn't even understand this. I went up to for the Axiom Festival at the end of last month, or the month before that, I'm sorry, the end of July. And they were talking about smart sensors up along the I-15. And I didn't know what they were talking about at the time, but I sure know what they're talking about now. And it's all these different sensors that they're trying, their plate readers and all this different stuff that they're just trying to create and control every bit of commerce and flow of people and goods in this country. When we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock and the Revolution Continues, me, Jet Lacey, we got Cassandra Anderson of MorphCity.com, who's an assistant to G. Edward Griffin, and we're going to talk to her for the next couple of hours and talk about all this good stuff when we come right back in just a minute. And, you know, her articles are featured on Infowars.com, which is Alex Jones' website. Again, I said she's an assistant G. Edward Griffin. You can go to morphcity.com, morphcity.com, and look at all of the different things that Cassandra Anderson is up to. She does a lot of good work. We'll be right back and after the news in about 8 minutes.